This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. It's 8.36 in the morning, Thursday, the 14th of January. And in about 10 minutes, we're going to be talking to Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals of Malaysia, about the private healthcare's potential role in the fight against COVID-19. But before that, we're taking a look at Trump's US-China legacy. Because as this Trump era comes to an end, we take a look at how his foreign economic and security policies might shape the future of American relations with China.
The infamous US-China trade war, which President Trump started, saw the US imposing tariffs on $360 billion US worth of Chinese imports. But has it managed to curb China's global influence? In fact, some would argue that the outcome of the increased tensions and trade war strengthened China's trade links to other countries, especially in our very own region here. So what's the scorecard for US foreign policy, especially vis-a-vis China? Well, let's find out.
And joining us to discuss this morning is Dr. Pradeep Taneja, Senior Lecturer at the University of Melbourne. Dr. Pradeep, thank you for joining us today. The US government this week took the move to declassify its Indo-Pacific strategy, which detailed its approach to curtail Chinese influence in the Asia-Pacific region. Did the document reveal anything particularly new or surprising?
Not really. I mean, I think most of us who've been following the US foreign policy towards the Indo-Pacific region didn't really find anything surprising. If you look at the document, it's about 10 pages. There's more than a page devoted to India and supporting India's role in the Indo-Pacific region. There is very little, in fact, half a page jumped together with the South Pacific on Southeast Asia. So in terms of the document itself, really, there is very little that we didn't know about.
How successful, in your view, has the US been in implementing their strategy?
Well, I think in terms of rhetoric, the Trump administration has certainly ratcheted up a few notches the rhetoric on China. And the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, for example, has been very scathing, very critical of China over the last few years. So in that sense, I think it's been successful in ratcheting up, the rhetoric. But in substance, I think it's been much more difficult because the full implementation of this strategy would have required the support of, the countries in the region and particularly the Southeast Asian countries. There are 10 ASEAN members. And most of these countries have their own economic future, their trade and economic relationships so tied up with China that they are unwilling or reluctant to really take a more strident position on China. So in that sense, I think the effect of this strategy has been rather limited.
And based on this policy blueprint, are there any things that Trump administration particularly failed to do?
Well, one of the failures, I think, of the Trump administration has been that despite the rhetoric on the focus on the Indo-Pacific, the focus on China, when it comes to the institutions of the region, President Trump himself has not been as willing and available to attend many of the meetings. So, for example, the East Asia Summit in 2020, which was in fact held virtually, so there was no problem about travel or clashes with any schedule, but he failed to attend the East Asia Summit in 2020. So when it comes to the institutions of this region and the institutions which really provide the architecture of security in the region, President Trump himself and his senior sort of team have not been as open to attending the processes and meetings of the Indo-Pacific region.
So turning then to the US-China trade war, Dr. Pradeep, data suggests that President Trump's trade strategy has not maybe resulted in the outcomes that he expected. Can the US then claim any victories in the trade war?
I think neither side, neither China nor the United States can claim significant victories in the trade war. Remember, it takes two to tango. So it's not only the United States, but China also had been taking action against the United States business and, of course, other countries, including Australia. But I think in terms of victories, neither side really can claim any significant victory. If anything, they have created more uncertainty for companies from the region dealing with China and the United States.
What about the man in the street in America or China? Who has been the winner?
Well, for the common man, certainly tariffs imposed by by the Trump administration on imports from China, for example, have affected the prices of imported goods. And, you know, if you go into any American store, you will find a lot of products made in China. In fact, in some of the stores, bulk of the products are made in China. So for the common American citizen, you know, struggling to make ends meet, the rises in prices of imported products from China, of course, certainly, you know, made their life more difficult because they have to pay more for those commodities. In China, too, Chinese companies and workers in Chinese companies who have been affected by the, you know, the trade war, certainly their lives have been, you know, affected by the trade war. So I think both in China and the United States, the ordinary people have been affected. Their lives have been affected by the trade war.
And on that note, how has China's domestic and foreign policy changed as a result of the tough stance from the Trump administration?
Well, in fact, one of the challenges in looking at the U.S.-China relationship and the U.S. role, you know, in the Indo-Pacific region has been the changes not only in terms of bilateral relationship between China and the U.S. under Trump administration, but also changes within China under President Xi Jinping. China under President Xi Jinping has become much more repressive. It has become much more aggressive, both in terms of its actions and in terms of its language. So, in fact, when we examine the bilateral relationship between China and the U.S., we have to look at not just the actions and language of Trump, but also the actions and language of China, particularly, you know, over the last few years under President Xi Jinping.
And now, of course, Dr. Praneep, as well, the big question here is how likely is it that Joe Biden will stay the course that the U.S. has set so far on U.S.-China policy? I mean, what are some of the elements that you think he might retain or drop?
You mentioned the release of the Indo-Pacific strategic framework by Robert O'Brien, the National Security Advisor under the Trump administration, you know, a few days ago. I think that one of the reasons for the declassification of this document, because remember, these documents are normally kept for about 30 years. But the fact that this strategy, which was formulated in February, you know, 2018, was released even before the Trump administration finished its term, is to put pressure on the incoming Biden administration to continue with the policies of the Trump administration. And I think the Biden administration is more or less likely to continue with these policies, particularly towards China and the Indo-Pacific region. So there may be changes in terms of language. The language, of course, will be much more, I think, precise than compared to President Trump. There will be new documents. So, for example, the incoming Biden administration will have its own view on, you know, relations with the countries in the Indo-Pacific region. But by and large, I think the direction is likely to remain the same.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Pradeep. That was Dr. Pradeep Taneja, lecturer in Asian Studies at the University of Melbourne, giving us some insight into U.S.-China relations so far, this Trump administration. And I think he makes a good point there about being aware as well of the influence of Xi Jinping, because he's China's strongman and he doesn't look to be going anywhere anytime soon. And the changes that have been brought about during his administration have kind of dovetailed with the Trump administration toughening of its stance, so it's a bit difficult to separate what was because of the US and China.
Joe Biden's expected to be more reasonable, but I don't think he will have any peace of mind as Trump will continue to tweet or to create a new platform to talk about some of the issues and put pressure on Biden. But I want to just bring it closer to home. In Southeast Asia, looking at the document, the goal was to create a credible alternative to China's One Belt, One Road initiative. Well, I don't think really much has been done right on that front, so I think I would like to see that happened under Biden. We see U.S. coming in with more money to this part of the world.
Yeah, I mean, look at the poll that we put out on Twitter. In your view, which global power is more influential in Southeast Asia? And a resounding 81% said China, with only 11% saying the U.S., 1.3% said other, and 6.7% said not sure. And one of the tweets I saw basically said follow the money. The tweet was, duh, who is the largest economic partner of Southeast Asia? Just follow the money, always. And he's right. I mean, in 11 years running, I think the China the China. China has been Malaysia's largest trading partner, and you've seen their increased presence in the region, part of their One Belt, One Road. So if the US can do a version of the One Belt, One Road and start using some checkbook diplomacy on its own, then, I mean, they'll be interesting to see. But we have to note also that President Trump never visited the region, or, I mean, never visited Malaysia, whereas...
Not even Indonesia, right?
I'm not sure about that, but I know President Obama definitely visited us.
He visited... Trump visited Singapore during the signing with Kim Jong-un.
Ah, right, that's right.
Yes, but that's because his best friend was there. I mean...
We'll have to wait and see, I guess, to see when what Joe Biden has in store for Asia once he's inaugurated next week. But right now, we're about to head into some messages, and up next, talking with Dr. Kuljit Singh about private healthcare's role in the fight against COVID-19. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.